Shavuot Tov, everybody. Bach. The notion of chronology is essential to understanding the historical narratives of the Torah. But it is not always easy to get a proper grasp of the precise chronology of events. Often this requires a lot of detective work, noticing dates that appear in the text itself, cross-referencing these dates with other texts and other dates, and piecing together a larger picture. Compounding the challenge is the statement that Chazal tell us, Ein muktam u'me'uchar b'Torah, which means that stories in the Torah do not necessarily follow in chronological sequence. Just to give you one example, we read yesterday of Yisro coming to visit B'nai Yisrael. The Torah places the story of Yisro's visit before describing Matan Torah, and yet there are actually two opinions in the Gemara and in among the Mefarshim whether in fact Yisro came before Matan Torah, as it would appear, or Yisro did not come till after Matan Torah. And sometimes even after painstaking effort, the picture is far from complete. And still in all, I think it is very helpful to draw broad strokes and to draw conclusions as to the extent that we can about timeline. So what I would like to do today with you is track the chronology from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Matan Torah. I find very often over the course of my years in teaching that students don't really understand exactly when things happened and how they come together. So I hope we'll have a clearer picture by the end of the shiur. Actually, I usually do this, but I actually located a Exodus map. I don't know exactly, I can't vouch for every little detail here, but it might be helpful for us. On the second page, you'll see a map which lists some of the places that we'll be discussing and the route that was taken from B'nai Israel's Exodus from Mitzrayim until as they went through the Midbar. And I also did, and this I could vouch for perhaps a little bit more, because I designed it, the various months that we're going to focus on, Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan of year 2448, and some of the relevant dates related to those months, and that's going to be very helpful as we go along. So we'll try to begin with broader strokes, and time permitting, we'll flesh out details as we go along. Okay, let's begin. So you have the map and you have the calendar, but let's begin with some of the psukim that we do find in Chumash and begin to paint a picture. Source number one. This is, of course, Parshas Bo. At the threshold of redemption, Hashem commands Moshe, or tells Moshe to command B'nai Yisrael about many mitzvos, the first mitzvah being Kiddush HaChodesh. HaChodesh is Elochem Rosh Chodeshim. This is a communication that was given Rosh Chodesh Nisan, year 2448. This is a mitzvah called Kiddush HaChodesh, as we know. And Sukkim go on to talk about what B'nai Yisrael are to do in preparation for their imminent redemption. So on the 10th of the month, they're told to take the Karban Pesach, as you can see the bold words, Ba'asa LaChodesh Hazeh, and they should designate the carbon and keep it for 4 days until the 14th of the month. On that day, the 14th of Nisan, they're to shecht it as the carbon Pesach. They're to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And then the night of the 15th, va'achlu es habasar ba'layla hazeh, they're to eat the meat of the carbon Pesach in their homes together with matzah moror. And so we have, of course, the night of the 15th of Nisan. And, of course, what happens that same night is Makas Bechoros, the mad scene in Mitzrayim of Paro running after Moshe Ba'aron, telling them, please leave. B'nai Yisrael are told not to leave their homes until the morning. Atem lo seitzu ish mipesach beiso ad boker. So it's only in the morning that they actually take leave. And if you just go back for a page to the map, you'll see what day of the week it is. Chazal tell us that the 15th of Nisan that year is a Thursday. So let's get our bearings. As you can see, Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place, Nisan 2448, on a Thursday. That's the day that they leave Egypt. Okay, let's go back to some of the psukim. So what are the first stops along the way when they leave Mitzrayim? So another pasuk in Parshas Bo, a little further on. They're in Ramses, and then they go on to Sukkos. Yisro b'nei Samei Ramses, Sukkosa, Geshesh me'os elef ragli, ha'gibar mu'bad mitaf. 600,000 men, not including the women and children. And now we have, therefore, the first of the journeys out of Mitzrayim. I want to move a little bit to Parshas Maaseh, and this is going to give us a broader picture in terms of how we go from one destination to another. In the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu records all of the various stops that Bnei Yisrael made from the time they left Mitzrayim all the way until where they were at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, which is Arvos Moav, which is all the journeys, of course, the Masaos. So if you look here, especially the bold words, Torah begins there by discussing how they journeyed from Ramses, as we just noted, on the 15th of the first month. And then it says in Pasuk Hei, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael mei Ramses, Vayachanu b'sukos. That parallels the Pasuk we just saw just above. Let's continue along and see how it's described in Parshas Maaseh, and then we'll come back to Sefer Shmos and notice what seems to be similar or perhaps different. So we have Ramses to Sukkos. That's all right very soon after they're leaving Mitzrayim. They haven't gotten yet to Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayisum Yisukkos Vayachanu Ve'esam Asher Bikseh HaMidbar. Now we have another place called Esam. Now we have something of a strange type of a journey. Vayisum Ve'esam Vayoshav Al Pi Achiros Asher Al Pnei Baal Tzfon Vayachanu Lefnei Migdol. This, as we'll see in a minute in Parshas B'Shalach, or I don't know if I referenced it or not, but I'll give it to you now, they are told to turn back and to, it's almost like a ruse, to make Paro think that they're confused. So they actually begin to journey in a direction back toward Mitzrayim, and that's what allowed Paro to think that he can pursue them. That's the journey that's described here, Vayachanu Lefnei Migdol. And from there, of course, we're getting ourselves to the main event of Kriyas Yamsuf, Pasuk Ches, Vayisu Mipnei Achiros, Vayabu B'Soch Hayam HaMidbara, Vayelchu Derech Shloshes Yom Bamidbar, Vayachanu B'Mara. So now it sort of skips over the great miracle. We're just talking about the stops. So now they made their way to the Yamsuf. There was the miracle Kriyas Yamsuf. The Mitzvim were drowned. And now we're going on from there, right, towards Sinai eventually. So describing here how they went for 3 days without water. Doesn't tell us about the lack of water, but that's part of the story. They went 3 days without water. They end up in Mara. Vayisu mimara vayavo elima. So there's Mara, there's Elim. The Torah tells us a little bit more about Elim over here. There were 12 springs and 70 ponds, and they were there in Elim. Then Vayisum Mi'elim Vayachnu Al Yamsuf. They journeyed from Elim and they camped near the Yamsuf. This is after Kriyas Yamsuf, of course. They're going into the desert. Vayisum Mi'yamsuf Vayachnu Bin Midbar Sin. Now we have a description of an area called Midbar Sin. And then from there, Vayachnu B'Dafka. So we have Midbar Sin, Dafka. And then from Dafka, we have a place called Alush. Vayachnu B'Alush. And now we're getting a little more familiar as we go from here to Rephidim. That should be a little more familiar to us. Rephidim, we'll soon see more about what happened in Rephidim. Melchemet HaMolek is, of course, what happens in Rephidim just before Sinai. And in Rephidim, there was also lack of water, and Moshe hit the rock and got water for them. Again, we'll see more, perhaps, about that. And then, from Rephidim, they get to Sinai. So let's just mention very quickly some of these names, and we'll look back at the map if you want. They leave Ramses to Sukkos, they go to Esam, then they go Lefnei Migdol, and then 3 days in the wilderness after Kriyas Yamsuf, Mara, Elim, Yamsuf, Dafka, Alush, Rephidim, and Sinai. Take a look at your map and you can just see some of those names. As you can look here, Ramses up on the left with a little asterisk, and you see Sukkos, Esam, and Migdol, right? Baal Tzfon is Migdol, and then Yamsuf. Now if you look a little bit to the right, on the other side of Yamsuf, going down, right, going down on the diagonal, Mara, Eilim Dafka Alus Refidim Midbar Sinai. Everybody see where we are? Okay, so we just read. Okay. So we just read from Parshas Maaseh. Parshas Maaseh doesn't give us much in terms of dates, when they arrived here, when they arrived there. We also don't know that much about things that happened, except a little bit, that there were some palm trees in Eilim, and that's about all we hear about, and that there was no water in Refidim. Let's go back to Sefer Shmos. Sefer Shmos, Parshas B'Shalach. So we're going to pick up now from after Kriyas Yamsuf, okay? Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael mi Yamsuf, vayetzo el Midbar Shur. Moshe has the Bnei Yisrael journey from Yamsuf to Midbar Shur, vayelchu shloshes yamim b'midbar v'lo matzu mayim. You see how that correlates with the pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, where it says again, in Yuli Pasuk Ches, Vayehu derech shloshes yamim b'midbar esam. Here it calls it Midbar Esam, and Parashas B'Shalach it's called Midbar Shur, but we're clearly talking about the same journey. And it says, they got to Mara, and go back to Parashas B'Shalach here in Source 3, Vayavo Marasa. So here we have how it correlates going to Mara after 3 days of journeying without water. What happened in Mara? So the Torah in Maaseh doesn't tell us anything about what happened there, but here in Parshas B'Shalach tells us that why is it called Mara? Why that name? Because they couldn't drink the water. The water was bitter. Mara means bitter, and therefore they called it Mara. And if you look further in the Pesukim, you'll see more about how the water was turned sweet. Hashem showed Moshe a way to make it sweet, and there was much more that happened there as well in terms of teaching them some laws and mitzvos. So we have Mara. After Kriyas Yamsuf, we have Mara, and then we get to Eilim. Vayavo Eilima. And again, you see, the next step after Mara is Eilim, and here you have it again, describing Shteimes Ve'enus Mayim, the 12 springs and the 70 palms, and they encamp there in Eilim. As far as dates are concerned, at this point, no date has been mentioned about when they arrive in Mara. We can speculate. If we go back to your calendars for a second, on page number 3 in your packets. Okay, so we notice Yitzias Mitzrayim was on the Thursday, the 15th of Nisan. We know Kriyas Yamsuf would be, therefore be going into the seventh day of Pesach, as we know. Shiras Hayam, we could therefore put, as you can see, 21st of Nisan. That would be the day that they sang in the morning after this, the Mitzrayim were drowning. As far as getting to Mara, well, it's not clear exactly, because they did hang around at Yamsuf after the Mitzrayim were drowned. There was a lot that occupied Bnei Yisrael. What were they busy doing? It took a little bit of coaxing to get them to journey. Chazal tell us that there was a lot of jewelry, a lot of gold, a lot of things that they decorated the chariots with, a lot of valuables of Bnei Yisrael were very busy looting after the victory, you might say, over Mitzrayim. So they had to be coaxed. So it could have taken a little time till they began to move. We know that they went for 3 days in the Midbar. So I put a question mark, as you can see, as far as Iyar, by the time you get to the Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is a Shabbos, if you look at the way the calendar lays out, we can pretty much guess that they're in Mara by then. And then how long they were in Mara, we can't really say. We know the next stop is Eilim. Again, question mark, when did they get to Eilim? Let's take a look at some Sukkim. After Eilim, where did they go from there? So we can't say exactly, you might say, when they got to Mara, can't say exactly when they got to Eilim, but let's go on from Eilim and see where we do find a date in the Chumash, okay? Go back to our sources. Source number 4. Vayisu me'elim. This is a Parshas B'Shalach. This is after they're in this beautiful place, this oasis, might say spa area in the Midbar with the palm trees and the springs. They journey from Eilim. Vayavo kodas b'Yisrael el Midbar Sin. Asher Bein Elim Uvein Sinai. They get to Midbar Sin, and the date is given here. Notice, B'chamisha Asayom L'chodesh Hasheni. That means the 15th of Iyar. Now, remember from Parshas Maaseh, what were the next stops after Elim? We went through Elim, then we had Yachanu Al Yamsuf, and then we had Midbar Sin, followed by Dafka, followed by Olus. Now, those names do not appear in Parshas B'Shalach. Instead, what you have is Midbar Sin. Then the Torah goes on to describe the miracle of the man. Continue on page number 5. B'nei Yisrael complained they had nothing to eat. And Hashem tells Moshe, I'm going to have this bread come down from heaven, and they're going to gather every day what is needed. On Friday, Yom Shishi, they'll get double portion. And Moshe warns them not to leave over from one day to the next. There are those who didn't listen to Moshe. Moshe is angered by that. Continues to describe how the sixth day came along, and Lechem Mishneh, double portion of man, came. They didn't understand. The princes came before Moshe. What's this about? Moshe says, this is what Hashem told me. Special day, Shabbos. We have a special portion of man on Friday in honor of Shabbos. And then prepare it for, you know, from today for tomorrow. Nothing spoiled from one day to the next, from Friday to Shabbos. And Moshe says, don't go out and gather man on Shabbos. Again, there are those who did. So what exactly are we describing here in terms of the calendar? When did the man begin to fall? What Shabbos was this that the Torah says that no man fell and they rested on Shabbos? Remember, we had noticed some places in Parshas Maaseh after Elim. We noticed Yamsuf, Dafka, Alush, and now we have this broad term called Midbar Sin. Notice what the Ramban has to say about this in source number 5. Says the Ramban, the Pasuk says, Vayisum Elim Vayibo El Midbar Sin. Says the Ramban, Ochaz HaKosuv Derech Kitzara. The Pasuk is speaking in short. Source number five, the Ramban. Again, the Ramban is commenting on the pasuk that you have in source 4, right? Vayisu me Elim, they journey from Elim and they go to Midbar Sin. What is the question? We looked at Maaseh, we saw a few places after Elim that are not identified here. We just have this broad term. We know the date. Notice the date is the 15th of Iyar. That we know, but we don't know where the various places fit here with the description of Midbar Sin. So the Ramban explains as follows. Ochas HaKosuv Derech Kitzara. The Pasuk is speaking in very brief terms. Ki Benasam Me'elim Chanu Al Yamsuf. Now he's paraphrasing the Pasuk in Parshas Maaseh. When they journeyed from Elim, they were at Yamsuf. Vayisu Miyamsuf Vayachnu B'Midbar Sin. Ki Midbar Hazeh Gadol, this Midbar Sin is very large. Magia me Elim ba'ad Sinai. It would reach from Elim all the way to Sinai. Vikasha nasu me Elim chanu al Yamsuf. Then they went to Yamsuf in that desert. Vinasu misfas hayam. Then they journeyed from the edge of the water of the sea. Vinichnasu b'tocha Midbar, into the desert itself. The asu bo masaos, and they made the following stops. Dafka ve'alush. Okay, so what the Rabban is saying is Dafka and Olush were places in Midbar Sin. Vayisu me Olush asher hu b'Midbar Sinai vayachinu b'Refidim. So we know the last stop before Refidim was Olush. Now the question is, where did the man begin to fall? Here the Torah says they were in Midbar Sin and they needed food, and the man began to fall on Sunday of that next week. Now, again, go back to your calendar. You have the date of arrival in Midbar Sin was the 15th of Iyar. What day of the week? That's pretty clear, right? Once we have our calendar laid out, you see the 15th of Iyar, Higil Midbar Sin. Now, Midbar Sin is a broad term. We had to talk about Dafka, Alush, and then Refidim. Notice I put in the parentheses Alush. Why? Because what Ramban now quotes. Go back into your Ramban, and he tells us what Chazal tell us regarding where the man began to fall. Ba'al das Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us Hayat var haman ba'agus. The man began to fall in the place that they were at just before getting to Rephidim, which is Agus. Kibir Osam, they saw that they were Chonim, Benosim, Bechonim, Bemidbar, Bedafka, Ba'agus. They were going from place to place, and they were in this wilderness, not knowing where they'll get out. They were afraid, Benisramo, they complained. And that's why it says that they complained in the desert. Okay, so what we can do now, if we go back to our calendar, is we notice that although we couldn't say for sure when they got to Mara, we couldn't say for sure when they got to Elim, and now we know there was Elim and there were a few other stops until they got to Arush, but what we could say is, as you can see on your in the box, a 15 ER, that they got to Arush, which is the last place before Rephidim, and from there Midbar Sinai, then Har Sinai. That is the 15th of Iyar, and that is a Shabbos. So the man will obviously begin to fall the next day, which is the 16th of Iyar. That you can see on your charts, in your calendar, Hischil Haman Laredes, on the 16th of Iyar. When was the Lechet Mishnah day? That would be the 21st of Iyar. That's the day that they had double man. And then you have what you could call the first Shabbos, in a sense, because that they rested on that Shabbos. They didn't gather man. That would be the 22nd of Iyar. Look at your calendars. Shabbos Rishona, you could call that the 22nd of Iyar. Because, okay, the answer, the reason I put a question mark is because I don't have time to go delve into it, but I'll tell you why I put a question mark. Because the first Shabbos sounds like they didn't know about Shabbos before that. The problem is that if you go back a few weeks, which was Mara, they were taught mitzvos. And according to Chazal, one of the mitzvos they were taught in Mara is Shabbos, which poses quite a question, because then, what was the first Shabbos? Was the first Shabbos the 15th of the year in Alush, or was the first Shabbos back in Mara? We have a series of steps we call Ma'alos Tovos that we recite at the Seder, that we call the Dayenu. Ilu Hotzianu Mitzrayim, da da da, and so on. So the 10th of the 15 steps, Ilu Hachilanu Saman, Velo Nasan Lanu Shabbos. A lot of Mefarshim raised the question, why do you talk about Shabbos after the Man? Shabbos came before the Man because they got Shabbos in Mara. So that's where the Shabbos Rishona question mark comes in. Yes? So that, if we get to this, I hope we will, the question is very relevant. Certainly now, after being in Alush, because I'm going to go a little ahead of ourselves, but then we'll see it inside. Take a look at the following Shabbos, after the 22nd of Iyar. You notice, by that Shabbos, they would be in Rephidim, right? Because two Shabbosos after that is when the Torah is given. Okay, the Torah was given on a Shabbos. The calendar date could be either the 6th or the 7th of Sivan. We'll see that soon as well. There's one Shabbos in between the Shabbos Rishona that I'm calling Shabbos Rishona, when the man had not fallen, but they were resting on that Shabbos, and the Shabbos of Matan Torah. And that's the 29th of Iyar. Notice, now they would be in Rephidim, but they journeyed from Rephidim to Har Sinai. We know that they arrive at Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's a pasuk in yesterday's parsha, Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. There is a question whether that Rosh Chodesh was a Sunday or a Monday. Namely, did Iyar have 29 days, in which case the next day is already the first of Sivan? Or did Iyar have 30 days, in which case Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the first of Sivan, is a Monday? Obviously, that would impact on whether the Shabbos of Matan Torah would be the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan. I hope it's becoming clear. If we assume, again, we'll go over this in a few minutes. If we assume that the day of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which is when they arrived at Har Sinai, was a Sunday, now the next question would be, we know that they arrived on a Sunday. When did they leave Rephidim to get to Sinai? Did they leave on the same day? It wasn't such a long distance to travel. Or did they leave the day earlier? If we assume that they left the day earlier, that would mean they journeyed on Shabbos. And that is a question in the Gemara. Could we entertain the possibility that they journeyed on Shabbos? After all, they were already commanded on Shabbos from Mara, or if you will, from Alush. Okay, again, the 22nd, the 15th is when they arrived, okay. Okay, so that's another question that is posed by some of Farshim as well. But, okay, that's making it even more problematic. But right now, the question dealt with in the Gemara is, could they have journeyed from Rephidim to Sinai on Shabbos the 29th? Your question is working with off of the 15th. Okay, let's come back to some psukim, now that we've spoken in general terms. Go back to some psukim. So we've identified the day of arrival in, you might say, Alush, the 15th of Iyar. We've identified the, what we could call the Shabbos Rishona, or the Shabbos that they rested, not having to go out to collect man, but having had the Lecha Mishta from the previous day. That would be the 22nd of Iyar. And now we have them moving to Rephidim. Do we know when they journeyed from Alush to Rephidim? Doesn't say. But we do have the Torah describing that journey from Alush to Rephidim. Go back to your Sukkim text. Source number 6. This is for the end of the Shalach. Perek Yitzayim. Vayisu Kodas Be'Yisrael. Mi Midbar Sin. Again, the Torah doesn't use the word Olush over here. That's used in Parshas Maaseh. Here the Torah uses Midbar Sin. According to Chazal, the man began to fall in Olush. That would be the place right before Rephidim. They journeyed from Midbar Sin to Maaseihem. Al Pi Hashem. Vayachnu Pi Rephidim. So we know they journeyed to Rephidim, and in Rephidim we have two major events to identify. Number one, the issue of the water, which we saw in Parshas Maaseh, when the Torah says that there as well, there was no water for the people in Rephidim. That's when Hashem told Moshe to hit the rock. He was to hit the rock, he hit the rock, the water came out, Bnei Yisrael drank the water, but they were faulted for the way that they challenged Moshe. And for that reason, the place was called Masa Umeriva. This is the Pasuk I'm reading from Pasuk Zayin. Al Riv Bnei Yisrael Al Nasosim Es Hashem, because they quarreled and they tested Hashem, asking, is Hashem in our midst or not? The very next Pasuk talks about the second event that happened in Rephidim, and that's Vayavo Amalek. Of course, it's easy to see why we can identify maybe a cause, a spiritual cause for Amalek coming. It's the fact that Bnei Yisrael doubted Hashem. The Mefarshim say that the gematria of Amalek is a gematria of the word Safek. Safek means to doubt. That's 240. Amalek comes when Bnei Yisrael have shaky emuna, they doubt Hashem. And we have the story of the fight against Amalek, which went over 2 days, as you can see, because Moshe says to Yoshua, choose people. Tomorrow, Machar Anochi Nitzav Rosh HaGiva, I'm going up to the top of the hill, and Moshe saw to it, Bnei Israel were able to overcome Amalek. Yoshua and his people fought against Amalek. So we know that during this time in Rephidim, there was the two events, the issue with the water, the hitting the rock, and the fight against Amalek, which had to do with Moshe telling Yeshua about what he's doing the next day. Somehow, we're talking about the week that ended with the 29th of Iyar. Again, two things happened in Rephidim. No. One after the other. Okay. First, the story with... Yeah, because two events. One was they quarreled and they demanded water. Hashem told Moshe, hit the rock, which he did. Bnei Yisrael drank, they had their water, but they are testing Hashem, which is not a good thing. The Torah warns us in Parshas Veschanan, do not test Hashem as you tested him in Masa. Masa is the place in Rephidim that they tested Hashem. And after that, the description of the battle against Amalek. So we can pretty much know the window of time that we're discussing, although we can't find the exact dates from the text in the Chumash, but we know the window of time that we're dealing with is beginning, you might say, the Sunday, the 23rd of the year. You see Rephidim with the question mark there. Again, we don't know when they would have journeyed from Alush to Rephidim, but that's the beginning of the week. And we have the week ending, the 29th of the year, which is possibly the day that they journeyed from Rephidim, or not till perhaps the next day, but that's the week that we would find them in Rephidim. That's the window of time that we're talking about. If we would assume, like those who take Yisro's visit, to have come before Matan Torah, then we'd have to put some other thing in this week, besides the issue of the hitting the rock with the water and the war against Amalek. We'd have to also find time and place for Yisro to have come to visit, because he was coming to Rephidim before Matan Torah. He journeyed with them to Sinai. So again, figure it out exactly. Can't tell you for sure, but that's the week that we're dealing with. Now, let's go from Rephidim to Sinai. Now, it's coming back to what I alluded to before in terms of the actual calendar dates. It's a bit confusing because of the question of how many days Eir had that year. Okay, so we are now in source number 8. Just, I guess I could just quote this for you in source number 7. Seder Olam Rabba is a source that's attributed to one of the Tanoim, and it does talk about dates. And there is a description there of the following: Uba'olus nitna lehem hashabbos, v'sham asu shabbos rishona. That's the language that I used before in the calendar, as it says v'ishmasu ha'bayom hashvi. Now, in Seder Olam Rabba, the indication is not in the text itself of the Chumash, but he tells us that they journeyed to Rephidim on Sunday the 23rd. In other words, right after that Shabbos that they rested in Olus, the next day, according to Seder Olam Rabba, was the journey to Rephidim, and that's where they had the heir Miriam first given to them, and the war with Amalek, and that would be the second Shabbos, as Seder Olam Rabba, that would be the Shabbos of the 29th of Iyar in Rephidim, and from there to Sinai. Okay, so this pretty much does fill in some of the blanks, although the text doesn't stated explicitly, but according to Seder Olam Rabba, the journey to Rephidim was on Sunday, the 23rd of Iyar. So we have that week to figure out the war of Amalek, the hitting of the rock, and perhaps Yisro's visit as well. Now we go to Parshas Yisro. Bachodesh Hashlishi, on the third month, to Bnei Yisro's Exodus. Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. Bayom Hazeh is interpreted as this day. The default day of the month would be, of course, Rosh Chodesh. So now we're leading toward Matan Torah. Matan Torah is going to be the Shabbos after. Shabbos, the Torah was given on a Shabbos. But now we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Sivan, a few days before. They arrive at Sinai, and the Torah tells us the preparations involved with getting ready for Matan Torah, communications from Hashem to Bnei Yisrael via Moshe, communications from Bnei Yisrael to Hashem via Moshe. Moshe is the go-between, so we have inspiring messages. Hashem tells Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael, I've chosen you, I brought you here on wings of eagles, you shall be part of the covenant, you'll be treasured, and you will be for me, Mamrechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, all these beautiful, inspiring words. Moshe, Pasuk Zayin, relates this to the elders, and the people respond, Moshe brings back a message to Hashem. According to Rashi, the Bnei Yisrael want to hear Hashem speak directly, as we'll soon see this again. Bnei Yisrael say, we accept. Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to speak to you. They will listen. And Moshe tells Hashem, Vayagid Moshe Zivam El Hashem, according to Rashi, they say, we want to hear from you. Hashem says, this preparation that's involved. So Hashem says, they have to change their clothing, they have to wash their clothing, they have to prepare themselves, the men have to separate from the wives in order to experience the prophecy of Har Sinai, of Maimon Har Sinai, separate the mountain, mark off the mountain. These are all days of preparation. We call these the Shloshes Yemei Hagbalah. On the third day, Pasuk Tezayin, in the morning, this is the day of Matan Torah, we have the awe-inspiring description of the kolos of Rakim, the sounds, and the shofar, and the terrifying experience of how the Bnei Yisrael felt the awe, and Moshe brings them out, and of course, Aseres HaDibros. So in terms of the dating here, couple of things that we should, I guess, take note of. The journey from Rephidim to Har Sinai. When did it take place? Let's talk about that, and then we'll talk about the chronology of those days itself. So Har Sinai. So, it was obviously not very far, because we're talking about less than a day's journey. So it was obviously very close. The Ramban notes the fact that when Yisro arrived, he could have arrived at Rephidim, and Bnei Yisro could have been at Har Sinai already, if we hold them, Yisro came after Matan Torah, and yet it was, or the other way around, Bnei Yisro could have been at Rephidim, and he arrived at Sinai, and basically it was all very short distance. If we look at... look at your calendars for a moment, and then we'll see the Gemaras that are relevant to this. Look at page number 4. Okay, there are two versions, meaning there's two opinions in the Gemara how you construct a calendar for Iyar and Sivan. Both have in common that the Torah was given on a Shabbos. That's when Hashem spoke the Aseres HaDibros. However, notice the difference. Version number 1 is Rav Yossi, version number 2 is the Rabbanan. According to Rav Yossi, the arrival at Sinai, which was Rosh Chodesh Sivan, was a Sunday, because that was Rosh Chodesh. According to the Rabbanan, Rosh Chodesh was Monday. The difference, of course, being whether we consider the day of Matan Torah, Shabbos, to be the 7th of Sivan, or as we celebrate Shavuos, on the 6th of Sivan. So that would mean if Rosh Chodesh was Sunday, the following Shabbos would be Zayin Sivan. If Rosh Chodesh was Monday, then Shabbos of Matan Torah would be the 6th of Sivan. Right? That's the first thing to notice. And that obviously depends on whether there was, in fact, a 30th day of Iyar that year, whether Iyar was Chaser, 29 days, or Iyar was 30 days. What is interesting is to figure out when they journeyed from Rephidim to Sinai. If they arrived at Sinai on Monday, so it's really a moot issue. They could have traveled on Monday and arrived on Monday. They could have traveled on Sunday and arrived on Monday. It doesn't really have necessarily much significance per se, because we're not dealing with the potential issue of traveling on Shabbos. However, if we assume that they arrive at Sinai on Sunday, which is version 1 of Yossi, then notice the question mark. Nas'u me Rephidim on that same Sunday that they arrived, or, go back to the previous side, possibly they journeyed from Rephidim on Shabbos. What does that issue depend on? And that is an interesting debate in the Gemara, which you'll see the very last source of your packet. In source number 16, the Gemara quotes a statement of a Braisa that identifies the sixth day of the month with the sixth day of the week. And that sixth day is a sixth day to something else. The Gemara explains that that Braisa follows the opinion of which Tana has to be. Again, if the sixth day of Sivan is the sixth day of the week, then it's following the opinion of Rav Yossi, because he's the one that would say that the Shabbos is the 7th of Sivan, Rosh Chodesh was a Sunday. But notice, it starts by saying that that Friday, that sixth day of Sivan, was a sixth day to something else. What was it the sixth day to? So the Gemara has two opinions. Either it was a sixth day to their journeying from Rephidim, which means that on Sunday they left Rephidim. The other opinion is no, they journeyed from Rephidim on Shabbos, but it was the sixth day to the arrival at Sinai, but not to their journey. The journey started the day before that. In other words, there's a question in the Gemara whether they were able to travel from Rephidim, to leave Rephidim to Sinai on Shabbos. So that's the question. What does the question depend on? So let's read the second line here of this source. Rava Amar Lachana Yosan. It was the sixth day to their arriving in Sinai. Rava Acha Bar Yaakov says, L'masa'an. It was the sixth day to their journeying from Rephidim. They journeyed on Sunday. It was the sixth day to their journey. V'kamniflu gi b'Shabbos demara. And they're arguing about Shabbos that was received in Mara. Here the Gemara uses the term Mara as the beginning point of Shabbos, because it says that Hashem says, keep Shabbos, kashet tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. It says in Aseres HaDibros in Veschana, you should observe Shabbos as Hashem has commanded. And Rabbi Yehuda, Marav, explains, as I've commanded you in Mara. Marsava, one opinion says, a Shabbos ifkud, on Shabbos they were commanded about Shabbos, atchumen lo ifkud. They were not commanded regarding the issue of going beyond the tchum, traveling out of the tchum. That did not get included yet in the mitzvah of Shabbos. So they were allowed to travel on Shabbos, even though they were already given the mitzvah of Shabbos. The other opinion says, atchumen nami ifkud. They had the mitzvah of Shabbos, including the prohibition of traveling. So therefore, if we assume that they were already given tchumen, then they could not have conceivably traveled on Shabbos from Rephidim to Sinai. They couldn't have left Rephidim until Sunday. If they were not given tchumen, they could have actually left on Shabbos. Some explain that tchumen actually is a reference to the malacha of hotzah, of carrying, because the issue might not be whether they can travel. That might not even be a nisa d'oraisa. Rather, the question of hotzah, because if you're traveling, you're obviously carrying your belongings. So how could you do that? Perhaps that malach of hotzah was not yet given as of yet. And therefore, it's a very interesting question if we want to figure out, did they travel on Shabbos from Rephidim to Sinai, or did they not? That's the question in the Gemara. Let's now talk about the actual progression of those days from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until either the 6th or 7th of Sivan, the Shabbos of Matan Torah. We noticed in Parshas Yisro a lot of back and forth and communication between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, and back from Bnei Yisrael to Hashem in anticipation of Matan Torah. Now, we should notice in this coming Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah gives us more narrative discussing events of Matan Torah. And the question, very fundamental question, is, what is the relationship between the descriptions of the events described in Yisro and the description of the events described in Parshas Mishpatim at the end of Mishpatim? So, for example, if you look in source number 11, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah describes, goes back to narrative, and tells us that Hashem says to Moshe, you shall go up to Hashem. You, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, you all have your station on the mountain. Moshe shall approach a little closer than everyone else. Now, beginning of Pasuk Gimel. Vayavo Moshe. Vayisaper l'ames kotevi Hashem. Moshe is relating to the people all of Hashem's words and all of the mishpatim. And everybody responds, ko ha-shadibra Hashem na'ase. So Moshe is telling over a series of laws. Continues Pasuk Dalet. Moshe Rabbeinu records it. He writes it down. So this is what he does. He takes laws. He tells Bnei Yisrael. They say, we will do it. He writes it down. Vayashkin baboker. Now we're talking about the next day. Wakes up early in the morning. He builds a mizbeach. And he has people offer karbanos. He points the Nari Bnei Yisrael, the Bechorim, let's say, to offer various karbanos, olos and shulamim. Moshe takes the blood, separates the blood, half of it he puts into these vessels, aganos, half of the blood he sprinkles on the mizbeach. Then he takes the Sefer HaBris, this is what he had recorded. The day before he had written down mitzvos in the Sefer HaBris. He calls out the words of the Sefer HaBris. And here we have the famous immortal words uttered by Bnei Yisrael, Kor Shadib Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. So we have a Sefer HaBris, which has mitzvos contained in it, which were written down and then read publicly, after which the Bnei Yisrael enter the bris and they say, Nasa v'nishma, and Moshe takes the blood of the karbanos, sprinkles it on the people. This is what we could call a covenant, a ceremony associated with Matan Torah. We have events that span 2 days. Notice, he wrote down the mitzvos after first telling it to them. Then he reads from the Sefer HaBris the next morning when he builds the Mizbeach and he has the ceremony of the blood with the Karbanos. What 2 days are being described here? What were the mitzvos that were written in the Sefer HaBris? And when exactly did this take place? Everyone follow the question. Where do you put the narrative at the end of Mishpatim and fit it within the narrative of Parshas Yisro? And this is a very important fundamental machlokas, which if we had time we could develop in very many ways, but just simply to get the basic chronology and the two shitos over here. It's, on the one hand, we have Rashi's approach and we have the Ramban's approach. According to Rashi, if you go back to source 9 and then we'll look ahead in a minute to source 12, you'll see the picture that Rashi paints for us is that the events in Parshas Mishpatim are to be inserted within the narrative of Parshas Yisro. So notice what's bold here in source 9, Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says, you shall be ready for the third day, which is, Rashi says, the sixth of the month. Rashi's going with the opinion that Torah was given on the sixth of the month. Rashi says, what happened that's not mentioned in Yisro? What happened on the fourth and the fifth of the month of Sivan? Says Rashi, Ubachamishi bana Moshe es hamizbeach tachas ahar ushtein esrei matseva. Moshe built the mizbeach and the 12 pillars around it. All the things described in Parshas Mishpatim, the ein muktam umuuchar batorah. So here we have a very important shita. Rashi says that the events in Mishpatim happened, at the end of Mishpatim, happened within the story of Parshas Yisro. If we go to Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim, source 12, we'll see it again. Now we have to ask ourselves, according to Rashi, what were the mitzvos that Moshe related to Bnei Yisrael? What were the mitzvos that he wrote down in the Sefer HaBris that Bnei Yisrael responded Nasa Benishma on? Now, one would have thought, or could have thought, that the Mishpatim described, that Moshe related, are the Mishpatim of Parshas Mishpatim. Because after all, if you look at all the psukim from the end of Aseres HaDibro, so the end of Parshas Yisro, all the way until the beginning of Perek Chav Dalet, which is source 11, you'll see a whole series of mitzvos. Source number 10, right, the very end of Yisro, Hashem is talking to Moshe after Matan Torah. And Hashem says, Ko somar b'nei Yisrael, you have seen how I've spoken to you from the heavens. There are a series of laws described here, including details about how to construct a mizbeach. And that's how it concludes Parshas Yisro, not to have steps on the mizbeach, to have a ramp. And from there, we get to the first pasuk of Mishpatim without any new communication. It's all Hashem continuing to speak to Moshe after Matan Torah. Ve'ela ha-Mishpatim asher tasin lifneihem. And all of the mitzvahs of Mishpatim are all obviously conveyed to Moshe after Aseres HaDibros. If that's correct, then we cannot say that when Moshe is talking to Bnei Yisrael before Aseres HaDibros and conveying the Mishpatim, that it's describing the Mishpatim that appear in the Chumash in Parshas Mishpatim, because those were not given by Hashem to Moshe until after Aseres HaDibros. So therefore, if you look at Rashi now, at source number 12, Rashi is forced to interpret what the Sefer HaBris was all about was not mitzvos that Hashem said after Matan Torah, because they haven't been given yet on the 4th and the 5th of Sivan. Says Rashi, Pasuk Gimel in Source 12, Vayovo Moshe vayisaper lo'am bo vayom eis kol dibri Hashem. What are dibri Hashem? The laws relating to separating from the wives and marking off the mountain. The eis kol ha-mishpatim sheva mitzvos shenitzdavu b'nei Noach. The seven mitzvos b'nei Noach were told over by Moshe to Bnei Yisrael in the context of this ceremony that we're going to see for the Krisas Bris of Matan Torah. Shabbos, Kibud Ve'eim, Parah Aduma, V'dinim, Shenitnu Lehem B'mara. So Moshe is relating to Bnei Yisrael mitzvos that they have so far. They haven't heard Aseres HaDibros yet. They certainly haven't heard all those mitzvos of Parshas Mishpatim that Hashem says afterwards. But there were mitzvos given in Mara. Those mitzvos in Mara may have some relationship to the dinim of Mishpatim, but they were given in Mara. And Kibud Aveim was given in Mara. And Shabbos was given in Mara. And Paradum was given in Mara. That was what Moshe told over. Vayichtov Moshe. What did he write in the Sefer HaBris? Pasuk Dalet. He wrote from Gracious to Matan Torah and the Mitzvos of Mara. He wrote it. He woke up the next morning, Bachamisha B'Sivan. According to Rashi, the 2 days that are described at the end of Mishpatim belong in Parshas Yisro. The Mitzvos, the Sefer Bris, could not have been anything that is described in the beginning of Mishpatim, which all is connected to the end of Yisro, which is all talking about after Matan Torah communications. So we have to talk about Mitzvos that they had at this point in time. And then at the very end of Mishpatim, we go back to the storyline after Matan Torah, Hashem says, come up the mountain. The Ramban, I don't think we'll have time to read it all inside, but the Ramban in Source 13 takes strong issue with Rashi. And the Ramban says, I disagree. Second line, the Eina Parshios Ba'os Kisidran, the Lo Kimashma on cloud. It just doesn't seem to work with the way that the Torah lays out the Psukim. The Ramban argues that if it says Moshe spoke to Bnei Yisrael, the Divrei Hashem at the Mishpatim, what Mishpatim are described, it's got to be the Psukim and Parshas Mishpatim in the beginning. Ki eno nachon sheyia ala Mishpatim shenistavu Bnei Noach v'shnen mohem b'mara. They already knew that. The Saper sounds like he's telling them something new. Says the Ramban, I agree with Ibn Ezra. Ukvar heitiv l'ra'os Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Ibn Ezra, Shepirei Sha'in Kisidro. And basically, the Ramban says that everything flows chronologically. So that after Aseres HaDibro, so let's call it the 6th of Sivan, Hashem communicated with Moshe details about the Mizbeach. Hashem communicated with Moshe many laws that were found in Parshas Mishpatim. After all of that was communicated to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu communicates that on that same 6th of Sivan day to Bnei Yisrael. He writes all those mitzvos down in a what we call a Sefer HaBris. He wakes up the next morning, the day after Aseres HaDibros, the 7th of Sivan. He reads from the Sefer HaBris on the 7th of Sivan, the covenant, the Geirus, the conversion of Bnei Yisrael as part of the ceremony of Matan Torah would be taking place, according to the Ramban, the day after Aseres HaDibros, rather than putting it, according to Rashi, the day prior to Aseres HaDibros. So you have a very important debate in terms of reading the end of Parshas Mishpatim, in terms of whether that belongs out of order back in Parshas Yisro, and then the Sefer HaBris is a very different Sefer HaBris. It's very different mitzvahs that Bnei Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma about. We always talk about Nasa V'Nishma. What was the Nasa V'Nishma recited in response to what? To a Sefer HaBris. What was in the Sefer HaBris? And when was Nasa V'Nishma said? According to Rashi, it was said the day before Aseres HaDibros were given. It was in response to a Sefer HaBris that had in it Bereishis until Matan Torah, the mitzvos of Mara, and that was their affirmation of Nasa V'Nishma. According to the Ramban, the Sefer HaBris contained the mitzvos that are written in the Torah at the end of Parshas Yisro, all the way until you get to the end of Mishpatim. All of those mitzvos were written. All those mitzvos were read, and all those mitzvos were the Krisus Bris of Mamer HaSinai the day after Aseres HaDibros. Again, there are quite interesting implications of this, but for our purposes, what I hope to accomplish, I hope we have more of a clarity in terms of mapping out, you know, the various stages from Yetzias Mitzrayim up until and including Matan Torah.